It is good to be here this evening. It is good to see you here. And as announced, we're going to talk about spiritual healing. As we contemplate the life of Christ, we know that while he was here, he healed. He oftentimes looked out upon the crowds and those who were gathered, those who were following, and he had compassion upon them, and he healed them. And that is not the type of healing that we're talking about this evening. Our text is Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through verse 34. And this narrative is of a woman who was dealing with health issues and had been dealing with health issues for a while. This time of year, as many are dealing with health issues, this situation kind of hits closer to home. Let's read it and see what it says. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of the many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was getting nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." What a wonderful, wonderful story we have here. A telling of an event that took place in the life of Christ. The compassion that he would had upon her. But first, we want to point out her determination to find healing. She said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." The faith of some people, it reminds me of the centurion who told Jesus that he didn't need to come to his house. All he had to do was say it. The woman who says, "If I could just get close enough and touch his clothes, I can be whole." And notice what happened. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt it in her body. If you've ever had a disease or a sickness, you know when you're getting better. Oh, we have these little glimmers of hope when one day we feel better and the next day, it's back again. But she knew that she was healed. Of course, we know that Jesus knew who touched her. And we know that she came and she said all the truth. "I knew that if I got close enough to touch you, I knew that if I got close enough and I could touch you, that healing would come out of you. And I and I would be healed." Notice what he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You know, at some point in our lives, and every one of us, sickness affects us. As I mentioned, this time of year, and we've had evidence of those being sick, some who have not been able to be in services for 2 or 3 weeks, and some who are still dealing with issues, and as is already evidenced, having coughed twice during the sermon, I'm dealing with a little something. But we all deal with sickness, and we deal with how it affects us in our lives. And we may be fortunate at times to be sick physically. To not be sick physically. I was commenting to Philip how that Linda and I were discussing, and she said, "You know, you seem to be of a stronger nature. You seem to be one who doesn't get sick." And we were talking about it this afternoon, and I recounted it to Philip how that as we were talking, she said, "You know, you've not been sick much our whole married life." And when I contemplated that, I realized that in the 46 years that she and I have been married, I've been sick less times than you can count on one hand. I'm a very fortunate fella. I still feel sorry for myself when I get a cold or the flu or whatever the case may be. But all accountable individuals get sick spiritually. And that's what we want to deal with tonight. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, and we see that all accountable individuals get sick spiritually. It is made abundantly clear by this passage. None can escape this. We are human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. And it very clearly tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is the nature of man to do that which is wrong in the eyes of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we were born in sin. That doesn't mean that we are required to sin. It just seems to be something that humanity participates in and therefore need spiritual healing. I might also point out that those who doubt and deny this need to read 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. There are those who have come to the erroneous conclusion that a person can get to the point where they are without sin, or that they can get to the point where sin no longer can affect them. That's not the case at all. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, if we contrast the two verses here, God said in His word, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then He also said, if we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar. We can see that the two run parallel one with another. One complements the other. And notice, and His word is not in us. That means we need spiritual healing. Now that this has been firmly established, now that this is undeniable, what are we going to do about it? The source of spiritual healing is God. The questions are, have we been healed? And are we seeking spiritual healing? You know, it's an amazing thing about sickness. Just because we've had it once doesn't mean we won't have it again. It's kind of the nature of things. I've been very fortunate. I have heard of people that have had measles more than once. I only had that one time. I think I read somewhere that people could have mumps multiple times. I'm not sure about that. But I only had them once. We sought healing in all cases. Something we need to take note of is the fact that sickness takes a toll on man. Hospitals, doctors, and other appropriate means are constantly being used to treat those who are sick. When we get sick, what do? Oh, yeah, I know. The first thing is complain. I feel bad. But what do? We seek something to remedy the sickness. We look for medication. We look for treatment. And hopefully we can receive the appropriate treatment. The woman in our text had suffered for 12 years, and yet she continued to get worse. Notice that she had spent everything that she had, and she wasn't getting any better. And she had suffered many things of many physicians. Sometimes the treatment seems to be worse than the disease. And maybe that was what the situation then. And I know down through the ages, man has learned some things. And some of the things that you would read about that the medical profession did in years past, it was horrifying. But she kept getting worse. But spiritual sickness is by far worse than any ailment physically that we can have. More so than even the ailment of the woman that lasted 12 years. Ultimately, the pleasures of sin will give over to the realization of our soul's condemnation. There are those who know they're doing wrong and they continue to do wrong, and it will take a toll. Eventually, they will become hardened of heart. Their conscience will be seared. They will go on with their life and they will continue toward that soul's condemnation. Hopefully, as we turn to Hebrews chapter 11 verses 24 and 25. And as we read in the case of Moses, we'll realize this before it's too late. Sin has a way of presenting itself and doing so to make it seem something we desire. Moses had a wonderful opportunity. You stop and think about what Moses was, how he was raised. He was royalty. He had the finest. He had the best education. He had everything that a person could want from a physical standpoint. But notice here, as we look in Hebrews chapter 11, and we see that he's one of the in the honor roll of the faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He was willing to give up everything. Why? Because he knew that there was something better. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of life for a season. You know what truth that Moses hit on long before the Lord spoke to him? Is that life only lasts for a season, but eternity lasts forever. I think that's a good message. I think that's something that we should all contemplate. You know, we're only going to live once. And sometimes people say, well, you need to live life. You need to experience things because you only live once. But how long does eternity last? And the things that we experience, if they are sinful, it will take a toll on us. It will continue to guide us away from the things that we should be doing. The fact is that we will all reap what we sow in this life. If indeed we sow improperly, we will reap accordingly. The meaning of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 now becomes very, very, very clear. Payment for sin is eternal separation from God. What does it tell us? For the wages of sin is death. You know, I hear people all the time saying, God will not send me to hell. I agree with them 100%. You earned it. You brought it upon yourself. The wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. But notice what he tells at the end of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If indeed we have spiritual sickness, we need spiritual healing. And we can only find that spiritual healing in Christ. Another thought that we should embrace is that sin, any sin for any period of time, will cost more than man will want to pay. People live their lives according to what they want. And it doesn't matter, saint or sinner, that's the truth. People live their lives according to what they want. If they want to serve God, they're going to seek God's word and find out how to serve God. If they want to serve self, they're going to seek to serve themselves by doing what they desire, what they want, what they think makes them happy, and for whatever amount of time. But the evidence is abundant that sin will cost more than one wants to pay. I'm just going to point out two examples. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. And we'll see there, as we're talking about Cain in the early days of man, or as they say, back in the day, Cain knew what God required for sacrifice. It was obvious that he knew, but yet he failed to do as God requested, and that results in sin. And the participation in sin, whether or not one wants to admit it, brings fear. When we do something that we know is wrong, deep down we are afraid. Because we know that God knows everything. And that sin will cost more than we want to pay. As we look at the passage, Genesis chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. What had God told him? You're banished. He says, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. First and foremost, we see what happened there with Cain, and sin is compounded. First, he offered contrary to what God had directed. Secondly, he was angry with his brother because his brother's sacrifice, in accordance to the will of God, was accepted and his wasn't. And thirdly, he rose up in the field, had a conversation and an altercation, which resulted in his brother's death. And he didn't want to pay the price. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Of course, God took care of that situation. But even Cain knew that sin had ramifications in this life. If we grasp that concept and hold it dear, sin costs. Am I willing to pay the price? And what is the price? The wages of sin is death. Do I want to be separated from God forever? No. Do I want to be in a situation such as that for eternity? Absolutely not. Second example is Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 24 through 29. He knew the same thing. It was a different time. It was another dispensation of time. But he had been told what to do. You go and you destroy the Amalekites, the young, the old, the male, the female, the king, the animals, absolutely everything. Just wipe it out. And guess what? It won't be a problem for you anymore. What did he do? Well, he had to be challenged before he admitted his sin. But it was still costly. It's costly in this life, and it's costly after this life. And also from this passage, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 24 through 29, we can see that we can't blame others for our actions. I think this is something that man has done from the beginning. In the garden, what did Adam say? He said, this woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. Was he blaming the woman? No, he's blaming God. Your fault, God, you did it. What did Saul do? He said, the people caused me to do it. But let's read this. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 24 through 29. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Let's stop right there. Notice what sin is. It's the transgression of the commandments of the Lord. He said, and thy word. He was talking to Samuel, Saul was. And the word that he brought him was the word of the Lord to go and do exactly what God had said. Destroy the people, all of the animals, and everything. And notice what comes next. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Who are we going to follow? We're going to follow God, or are we going to transgress the commandments of God and because we fear the people? You know, fear is a big motivator. It causes a lot of problems. And a lot of times people say they're not afraid. But I think fear invades almost every human heart. There's something we're all afraid of. But hopefully we're not afraid when it comes to the Word of God. We will stand and preach it, even if it costs us. Because if it costs us, we're ahead in the game. But he feared the people. He obeyed their voice. He says, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. What was he asking? Can a man pardon someone's sin? No. And Samuel replied to Saul in verse 26, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. It is important to realize and understand when man rejects the word of the Lord, they have sinned against God and they need spiritual healing. In this particular situation, the cost was immediate. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold on the skirt of his mantle and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. We know that this kingdom and this throne was given to David. Why? Because sin has a cost. It cost Saul from being to be no longer he could be king. It cost him the throne. And it cost him his soul. Because sickness takes a toll on man, we need spiritual healing. And spiritual healing is only found in the Lord. The woman in our text, Mark chapter 25, chapter 5, verses 25 and following, she trusted so much that she could be healed by the Lord. Let me read verses 27 and 28 again. Keep in mind as we read this, this is while both of them were in the flesh, and both of them, the Lord and this woman, were children of God. They were Jews. This was a physical situation with a physical ailment, with a physical means by which that ailment can be addressed. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, as we contemplate this, we too are in the flesh. But Christ has long since ascended to his Father. He is no longer physically among us. Therefore, the healing that is available today is spiritual healing. But don't despair. We can all be whole. Likewise, just like this woman, we can have confidence and we can trust that we can be spiritually healed by the Lord. John chapter 8 and verse 24 shows us from the mouth of Christ himself that spiritual sickness is death. Death is separation. In the physical, death is the separation of the body and the spirit. We know this. When the spirit leaves the body is dead. But in the spiritual death, the soul is being separated from God now and forever. We hear about the Ephesians in chapter 2. He says, and you who were dead in your sins hath he quickened together. It's important for us to realize that death is a separation. Physical death is the separation of spirit and body. Spiritually, that death is separation from God now and forever. Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. What was their problem? Their problem was they did not believe that he is the Son of God. He said, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, let's make one point perfectly clear. The Lord does not want any soul to be separated from him. Not now and not forever. But sadly, some refuse to seek spiritual healing. You know, it's pretty sad when a person has a problem and that problem is terminal and they will not seek treatment. Now, I fully understand, and just so you'll know my position, if I were to be diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, I would probably let it run its course. Because in my mind, the treatment's worse than the end result. But that's just me. But when I get a cold such as I have now, I'm going to seek a remedy because I don't want it to turn into pneumonia. I don't want to be in a hospital bed with tubes and wires and all that kind of stuff. But some won't seek spiritual healing, and it's available. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus told Thomas that he was the only way. He told him that he was the means whereby one can receive spiritual healing. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Spiritual healing is found only in the Lord. This was Jesus telling Thomas, John, and whoever else was there, that he was the source of spiritual healing. It was not yet available, but it soon would be. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, after the establishment of the church, we see that this is affirmed. And by this, we know that even after his departure from the physical, Christ is the only way to salvation. You know, it's sad to me that today, so many people are taking a placebo. And if you don't know what a placebo is, some people might say, well, it's a sugar pill. No, I looked up the definition. It is a fake treatment that looks like and is given like a real drug or treatment, but has no therapeutic value. Now, apply that to all of the millions of different organizations that claim to be able to offer salvation, but yet are not following the way, the truth, and the life. They're taking a placebo. Might as well take a sugar pill. There is no fake treatment that brings about salvation. Denominational doctrine cannot provide salvation. They cannot save. And Acts 4 and verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, speaking of Christ, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know something about the placebo? I am told, now I don't know this, but I am told that certain people have been given something, and it be a placebo, and they were told that this would make them feel better, and all of a sudden they felt better. But did it make them better? One cannot be tricked into salvation. People can say, you know, I feel like I'm saved. I don't know what that means. You can't prove a feeling. You may think you feel better, but has your real situation been addressed? One can only have salvation through Christ. And ultimately, our trust in the Lord should lead us to obey the gospel. That woman's trust in the fact that I can reach out and touch his garment and I can be healed. That's the kind of trust we need to have. Now, we're not finding our way. And it wasn't her way of doing things. Where did the healing come from? From the Lord. How was it attained? By her coming in contact with the Lord. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we see this is what the Spirit had Paul write to the Roman congregation. It is one's faith in and obedience to Christ and his word that brings one into a covenant relationship with God. One cannot just simply have faith and be saved. Yeah, we've got to have faith. We have to believe. But we also have to obey. He wrote to those Roman brethren, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, what? The gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is that which directs the man to the plan. The power of God unto salvation to whom? To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why? Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We've got to apply that way to our lives, the truth to our lives, and the life that Jesus Christ offers so that we can participate in this spiritual healing. If we believe in and obey God's word, we too can have this spiritual healing. But without Christ, it's not available. Why do you think he was called the great physician? Not just because he came to heal people. He said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, the Jews that had obeyed the gospel but were in danger of forsaking in favor of the old law of Moses were reminded of this fact as well. There is no spiritual healing now in that which has been nailed to the cross. That old law was put away. It was put away to make room for the new. And it talks about Christ here in Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Notice, if you will, the requirement at the end of this verse. Obedience is not a one and done, but a continual way of life. And it is to whom? To whosoever will. Whosoever will do what? Whosoever will continually obey. Who will continually receive the spiritual healing that is only found in the Lord. You know, once healed, man can be at peace. We've all been sick at one time or another, and we've sought healing. Right now, I am looking forward to the peace of waking up and not hearing myself breathe, or hearing myself breathe, and that was what wakes me up, or coughing in the middle of the night, or coughing during the middle of a sermon. I'm looking for that kind of physical peace that comes once this thing has run its course. And once the medications have been applied, when proper means are used and healing occurred, don't we have peace? I think so. We feel better. We smile more. We're kinder to other people. The woman who had suffered so long was now able to have peace. She had the comfort in her life knowing that this malady that had affected her for so long was now behind her. In verses 29 through 34 of Mark 5, she found peace. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew. She knew that she had been healed. She knew that she had peace because she no longer would suffer in that way. Her faith led her to find healing and to find peace. Today, people can have the peace that passes all understanding. No matter how long we've suffered spiritually, we can still have that. That's found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And the Spirit had Paul informed the brethren at Philippi of this, and it's still available today. But the healing must occur before the peace is received. That's what's important. We can't have peace knowing that we're taking medication or we're going to get better. You know, we look forward to it, but the peace comes after the healing, and that requires ongoing obedience. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As we go on through life and as we are afflicted by sin or the temptations which bring about sin, if we submit ourselves to them, we can have peace knowing that the remedy has been applied. However, as is always the case, actions speak louder than words. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, I want you to consider that passage. Here in this general epistle, it's very apparent. One can say, but it doesn't make it true. And the same thing with healing. Now, I'm a guy. And as such, you know that I'm more likely to strongly imply, I'm feeling fine. I'm strong. I'm good to go. But what do you hear after that? It's a guy thing. I can't help it. But am I really well? Where's the evidence to support it? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We don't have that peace. We do not the truth. But look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We are joined together in the bond of peace. And, at the end of the verse, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth, that's ETH, ongoing, continual, us from all sin. What is the condition that must be met? We must walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Jesus Christ's blood is constantly available for us. And so the question must be asked, can there be any true peace when spiritual sickness continues? When we are cleansed, which means spiritually healed, we have true peace. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 is a solemn reminder to brethren to always seek that peace and apply the spiritual healing that all need. A reminder once again, the source of spiritual healing is the Lord, and peace is continually available. Notice that the people to whom John was directed to write here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You know, to believe on the name of the Son of God is to believe in the authority of the Son of God. He is authorized to offer spiritual healing. Those who are healed can have the peace that comes from being healed. You know, something just occurred to me. We're talking about healing. We talked about physical healing. We talked about spiritual healing. And when we think about physical healing, if someone had told us that such and such a doctor is a quack, are we going to call that office the next morning and set up an appointment? But when we know that he is authorized, that he is qualified, and he can provide for us that which our needs, which we need physically, will we not seek him out? As Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 27 spoke with his apostles, he promised them the Spirit. We have that same Spirit, yet in a different format. He said unto them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, we needn't be afraid either. Spiritual healing is available to all who will seek it. It is available to those who are outside of the body if they will seek it. It is available to those who are within the body that have sin if they will seek it. The plan of God is extremely simple. It is so simple that someone one time put it on the five fingers. Some people call it the five finger exercise. I think that's a slap in the face of God. But it's a very simple plan. It is very simple, yet it is complex. It is simple to the point that it can be carried out. It is complex to the point that the blood of Jesus Christ can be applied and spiritual healing can occur. One must hear the word of God. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must believe, as John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One must repent. Notice what it was in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. The first thing that the apostle, by inspiration, said to these people, after they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent. Of course, beyond repent is to be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? I wasn't there. And it wasn't recorded exactly what was said when these people were being converted, when they were being baptized into Christ. But I'll guarantee you, every one of them were asked a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? They had to confess. Romans 10:10 tells us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And when Jesus was here on the earth, he looked forward to that which would take place. In Mark 16 and verse 16, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And it's important to realize and understand, since spiritual healing is only in Christ, one must be baptized into Christ in order to have their sins washed away. And then we must remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. It's important that we realize that even as a child of God, we may need spiritual healing. If as a Christian we have unrepented sin in our lives, we've allowed sin to separate between us and God. Oh, what an awful fate awaits. But it needn't be. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, we see in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves of God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And in verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Why? Well, they've submitted themselves to Satan instead of God. What must they do? They, as children of God, must repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. We talked about questions and answers this morning. I'm going to ask a question, and I can't answer it. But you can. Where livest thou? Does your soul require spiritual healing now? If so, it is available. You must seek it. You will find it, and we can help you. If indeed you are not a child of God, you need to become one. You need to obey the gospel. And if you are a child of God and you have sin within your life, you need to come back in repentance and prayer. Let us stand and sing the first and third verse. Ask yourself the question, provide the answer, and then respond accordingly.